It is time for Minnesota Military Radio, brought to you in part by Cargill, providing food, agriculture, financial, and industrial products and services to the world. Cargill, helping the world thrive.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll meet with the Cargill Veterans and Military Support Network, hear the latest from the St. Paul District Army Corps of Engineers, and visit with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Our state's Yellow Ribbon Network is an incredible resource as we work to connect service members, veterans, military families, employers, and communities. They help ensure the resilience of those who serve. Started right here in Minnesota, our Yellow Ribbon program is now the model for networks across the nation. Since we proclaimed our first Yellow Ribbon Network in 2008, hundreds more have emerged in counties, cities, communities, and at companies statewide. These self-sustaining networks draw together agencies, community leaders, and volunteers. They strive to support the service members, veterans, and military families of any age and from any era that live and work in their area. The continued growth and improvement of this program is vitally important as service members and their families continue to adapt to increasing demands and training requirements we see across the force. To all of our incredibly generous and dedicated Yellow Ribbon volunteers, thank you. You help ensure our service members and their families remain resilient and ready to serve. If you're ready to join a Yellow Ribbon network near you or make your large company or community Yellow Ribbon, please visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. That's beyondtheyellowribbon.org.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. Joining me now from one of our Yellow Ribbon companies, Cargill, is Jason McBurley, who is the chair of the Cargill Veterans and Military Support Network. Jason, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. It's great to be here.
Jason, we just heard a message from the Adjutant General, John Jensen, Major General Jensen, about the Yellow Ribbon programs, and Cargill's been a member of that for several years, haven't they?
Yeah, we're going on about 3 years as a member of the Yellow Ribbon Network, and it was the basis for the establishment of our Veterans and Military Support Network. So it's great to hear General Jensen as the Adjutant General talking about the Yellow Ribbon, and we're proud to be a member of those organizations.
And, sir, you're quite familiar with him, having recently wrapped up your career in the Minnesota Army National Guard.
My favorite part about being on this show is that you always say recently.
How long ago was it?
And we're now on 2016, so... We're moving along away from just recently, but I appreciate that. Yeah, I've had the distinct pleasure of knowing General John Jensen for many years. In fact, served with him at the division as he was the chief of staff, and just a wonderful man, and we're glad to see him serving as the Adjutant General.
And you actually started out as a United States Marine.
That is the rumor.
So happy birthday last week, sir.
It's been a heck of a couple of weeks here in November. I mean, change of command at the Adjutant General level, the Marine Corps birthday, Veterans Day. It's been a great month so far.
And, sir, you've had a pretty good year at Cargill, too. I understand that Cargill recently won a very prestigious award that you went out to Washington, D.C. to pick up.
Yeah, we were extremely honored and privileged to go to the Pentagon and receive the Patriot Award from the Employer Support of the Guard and Reserve. Dave McLennan, the CEO, myself and a contingency went to received the award that was nominated by a Kansas National Guardswoman who serves in the National Guard in Kansas, works for us in a facility in Milwaukee, and manages to juggle all of those things. And it was her story that we were able to use in the nomination to be able to accept that award just a few months back here in August.
And, of course, Cargill's been a member of or familiar to Minnesotans for many years, but they've been around for over a century. And one of the biggest, commodity suppliers in the world?
Yeah, well, so, you know, Cargill is 152 years old. We have been in this business since its inception in Conover, Iowa, just outside of the state of Minnesota. And we've been headquartered here in Minnetonka for over 100 years. And it's just a great organization relative to how it treats people and what its expectations are. And so I think that's what the close linkage is for me between Cargill and the military.
We're speaking with Jason McBurley, who is the chair of the Cargill Veterans and Military Support Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Jason, you've been, when you were in the Guard, the last some years of that, you were a weekend soldier, and you've worked for Cargill for quite a while now, haven't you?
Yeah, going on 12 years. So I left the AGR program in 2005 and went directly to work for Cargill then, and then served as a traditional guardsman for the next 10 years after leaving the AGR. Had the honor of deploying once with the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade during that period as well, and had incredible support from Cargill. One of the hallmarks of the organization is a support of guardsmen, reservists, and veterans.
And as we said, you're the chair of the Cargill Veterans and Military Support Network. Now, is that a relatively new network for Cargill?
We have been in existence for about 3 years. I was the third chair of the organization, so we're fairly young. So we took some risk up front and early, and we're getting better. We've actually just named our incoming chair. Stephanie Arnold will be coming in as the chair, and I'll serve for another year as a chair emeritus. And we're looking to continue some of the fantastic things that that program has been able to do in recognizing veterans, and then the support that we provide to the rest of the community and other businesses around supporting veterans.
So what is the mission of that network within Cargill? Is that to get some of the veterans that are employed by Cargill together and help support other veterans internally and help in the community?
Yeah, so the mission is pretty straightforward, is to recognize, recruit, and retain veterans and service members. So internally, it's about recognition. It's about retaining that talent within our organization because it has such high value. And it's about recruiting veterans to come to work, not only for Cargill. Part of our mission is to expand across all businesses in the Twin Cities. So we work with and closely with companies like Ecolab, Best Buy, Target, Wells Fargo. And we collaborate on how to get the message in front of as many veterans as possible. And how can we get those folks into positions within our organization so that they can continue to provide their talents to another organization?
Now, Jason, being a Yellow Ribbon company, then you have the opportunity to do some networking with the other Yellow Ribbon companies here in Minnesota, and it was a lot of those companies you just mentioned and more, and that must give you an opportunity to trade best practices and get to know some of those people that are in charge of those networks in the, within those businesses.
It's really one of the great parts of the Yellow Ribbon Network is that organizations that may be like-type competitors may be in businesses where they would like to take share from the other, in this particular instance, work together to share those best practices, to work together for the benefit of those that served for us. And ultimately, we want to get veterans into positions within organizations that they can thrive.
So you may be competitors in business, but there are factions within all of those corporations that are very interested in supporting our troops and their families, and that's really what the Yellow Ribbon program is about.
That's what it's all about.
Well, you're in a great position, sir. We're going to have to take a short break. When we come back, we want to learn a lot more about Cargill and all the activities that you're up to within the Cargill Veterans and Military Support Network. We're speaking with Jason McBurley from Cargill. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been visiting today with Jason McBurley, who is the chair of the Cargill Veterans and Military Support Network at one of Minnesota's oldest institutions, Cargill. It's been around for over 150 years. And, Jason, you haven't made the joke yet that they got started after I was a command sergeant major. But we don't need to go there.
I just heard that joke. I hadn't worked it in yet, but I was looking forward to it. So thanks for that.
Well, you know, that kind of goes when you're on the show. We have to make those jokes, and we have to talk about that not high and tight haircut that you have.
These beautiful locks, Tom, if I could share them with you, I would.
For our listeners out there, Major Burley was a member of the Minnesota Army National Guard for many years and always had a good soldierly haircut. And after he retired, he learned that he can still grow a lot of hair. And I think the rest of the soldiers that are still in the military are a little bit envious, sir.
Well, I'm sure they are not.
Gives them something to talk about, so that's safe. Jason, we were talking about Cargill and the Cargill Veterans and Military Support Network, the fact that Cargill is a Yellow Ribbon company, and you've got a lot of initiatives you're working on over at Cargill both inside the company and in the community.
Yeah, we're really, really trying to expand the Veterans Network and our outreach within to the communities and more broadly than even just Minnesota. We're headquartered here, of course, but that's just the location of the national board. Where the activity really happens is within the local chapters that are throughout all of the United States, which we are really most proud about. That's where the work really happens. That's where people are really getting things done, and that's where they're making the most difference.
And one of the things that you've been a sponsor of is the American Corporate Partners. Can you explain that to us?
Yeah, so American Corporate Partners was established as veterans started to come back into the workforce and were having some difficulties transitioning, and as they've always had, a bit of a difficulty of translating their military experience into civilian occupations. And so American Corporate Partners was established, and they build mentor-mentee relationships where the mentors are within organizations such as Cargill and other employers throughout the Twin Cities, and they match them up with transitioning veterans that are looking for mentorship on how to transition into the civilian workforce. And so Cargill is actually the only sponsor of American Corporate Sponsors here in Minnesota. And so we annually host a mixer where we bring in 7-8 other companies from the Minneapolis-St. Paul area. And about 50 to 75 veterans has been our average attendance. And we'd like to bump that up to about 300. So anybody that's listening, on the 21st of March, we'll be hosting the American Corporate Partners Mixer at the Office Center at Cargill. And you can find all that information online at Cargill.com.
Cargill.com. Anybody's interested in that, it's coming up in March. And do you have, are you hosting another event in December?
So in December, we have the Twin Cities Military Network. And you might recognize the name Galen Miller. And Galen's was very instrumental in launching a Yellow Ribbon Network at Target Corporation and was very successful and then has moved into some other areas. But we're hosting his luncheon for the Twin Cities Military Network on the 5th of December, another opportunity for networking amongst veterans and employers.
And for those that know me, they know that I do a little fundraiser for the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and you've been a great partner of that for several years now.
Well, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation is probably my favorite veterans assistance program. What you guys do is second to none. The way you run the organization is the best, and the support that you give to those people that need it is very much appreciated.
And you were with us the last few years out at the MMFF Golf Classic, and the list of companies that support us every year is the same list that you're talking about, Yellow Ribbon companies, major players in the Twin Cities, and we're very proud to have Cargill be supportive of that. And of course, we try to keep that as clean as we can in terms of hold the expenses down and make sure all of the money goes to help Minnesota military families. So thank you very much for that.
Well, it's our pleasure. It's one of the great places that we get to participate. We know that the funds that we use are going to be used wisely and get to the people that need it.
We're speaking with Jason McBurley, the chair of the Cargill Veterans and Military Support Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Jason, this year, 2017, Cargill has been our title sponsor for Minnesota Military Radio, and we've grown over a dozen stations in the last year since you started. We're up to 45 stations all over Minnesota that listen to Minnesota Military Radio each weekend, and we hope to continue to grow. But one of the things that we found unique when you were studying that a year and a half ago, was Cargill's got facilities all over Minnesota,
right?
And Cargill's looking to hire veterans.
Yeah, it really is the perfect synergy in two completely different areas, right? So the support of military veterans and service members and what they gain from this program is fantastic. Our opportunity to continue that also overlaid with where our facilities are throughout the state of Minnesota. Madison, Minnesota, Alberta, Pipestone, Marshall, then Monticello, places like that where we have significant facilities where we struggle to find talent to work in our facilities. The veterans community, specifically amongst the National Guard, is perfect. These individuals espouse the exact same values and principles that we are looking for. If you come with the values and behaviors that we need and the skill set of a military veteran, we can teach you to do anything and you're going to be very successful in our organization.
And one of the commitments that Cargill formally made when they became Yellow Ribbon was to support and hire veterans.
That's correct. And we continue to try to go above and beyond, as we talked about earlier. We want to not only ensure that we find the talent necessary for us to be successful, more importantly, we want veterans to find the places where they can be successful, whether it's at Cargill or any other corporation throughout the Twin Cities.
So, Jason, if our listeners are out there are a veteran and they're interested in employment at Cargill, you've been there for a dozen years. What could they expect if they go to work for Cargill? And is it a veteran-friendly place to work?
Well, it's an extremely veteran-friendly organization. As you know, many other Minnesota National Guard members have come to work for us. A prior 1st Brigade Combat Team Commander, Bob Interest, is with us. Eric Alness is with us as well. It's a very veteran-friendly organization, and our values and principles are very highly aligned. It was one of the easiest things for me to transition because it was the same environment. It was based on the same values and principles. It's do the right thing, put people first, and reach for more. Those are the core values of Cargill, and they resonate very well with veterans.
Respect them, give them a job to do, let them do their job.
Absolutely.
And Jason, for 2018, you've got a little announcement for our listeners about your sponsorship of the program.
Well, we are ecstatic to announce that we'll be able to maintain our title sponsorship and continue to participate here on this program, and then also to continue to support the other activities that we like to participate with you specifically. Tom is one of the best in the business, and it is really just an absolute pleasure every time I get to spend some time in this broadcast booth with him. And we just appreciate the opportunity to support the network, support the things that you do, and we'll continue to do so as long as we can.
And Jason, thank you, and thank all of those people at Cargill for helping to support Minnesota Military Radio so we can get all this information out to our listeners all over the state. We just got a few seconds left. If our listeners were thinking about a career in the Minnesota National Guard or going to work for Cargill, what are you going to tell them?
Do both. If you have any questions on how to best serve, you want to serve your nation and country, this is the right way to do it. One protects the world and one feeds the world. So go out and join both the National Guard and come to work for Cargill.
Jason, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
This is Jason McBurley. He was the chair of the Cargill Veterans and Military Support Network on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll speak with the St. Paul District of the Army Corps of Engineers. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll visit with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
I'm proud to share some exciting news. The Minneapolis Veterans Home now has its own dental clinic. This was made possible through generous donations from Delta Dental, Minnesota's Veterans for Veterans Trust Fund, and the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota. Through this partnership, we will enhance existing facilities and establish a permanent dental clinic on the Minneapolis campus to care for our valued veterans. Now veterans will be able to receive longer restorative procedures and care right at the home in Building 6 on the Minneapolis campus. When we work together and garner support for innovative ideas, all veterans benefit. I want to say a special thank you to our partners and donors for their support.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Colonel Sam Calkins from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers St. Paul District. Commander, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's great to be here, Tom. Thank you.
Sir, can you tell us a little bit about your military? How many years have you been in? And I know you've served in a lot of interesting places.
Yes, sir. I've been in almost 24 years now. Graduated from West Point in 1993, and I've been an engineer officer since then. A lot of people ask if being part of the Corps of Engineers, if I'm a professional engineer. I'm not, but I've been an Army engineer doing combat engineering for most of my career. Served in Iraq twice. I was there once with the second Cavalry Regiment back in 05-06, and then with the 1st Infantry Division in 2010-2011. And I've been lucky to have been stationed overseas and in the country in a number of different places. Met my wife up in Alaska when I was stationed there for 3 years. So it's been a great, great 23 years.
And sir, I understand you've been in Turkey, and you went to graduate school in London.
That's right. Yeah, I've had some plum assignments.
Sir, I thought they said join the Navy and see the world, but I guess you can join the Army and still do it too.
That's right. It's worked for me anyways.
So, sir, when did you take over as the commander of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers St. Paul District?
Just shy of a year ago. It was June 30th of 2016.
And you oversee a lot of permanent employees over there.
That's right. We've got about 600 employees. Only 8 of us are in uniform. About 30% of our civilian staff, though, are veterans. I learned that number recently. So we do have a lot of veterans. The people who are feel the call to service in uniform also feel the call to serve in the Corps of Engineers. Some dedicated professionals. About half of them are actual engineers, professional engineers, but we have biologists and economists and project managers and a lot of things in between.
And, sir, it's kind of an interesting phenomenon. You've got this corps of full-time civilian employees, and every 3 years they get a new commander. What's the theory behind that?
Yeah, very interesting. So the Corps of Engineers has been an Army organization since its roots 241 years ago. The first commander of the St. Paul District, actually, we just celebrated our 150th anniversary, but he was a guy by the name of Major Governor Warren. Came from out east. He was a hero of the Battle of Gettysburg as a major general there, and came out west to the headwaters of the Mississippi to do some of the first Corps of Engineers projects there. And ever since then, there's been a colonel in charge of the district. So we come and go every 3 years, but a lot of the civilians are there for 20, 30, 40 years for an entire career. They have a lot longer memory than a lot of soldiers do. And so we're on our best behavior to make sure that we don't derail the train for our three-year tour.
And Colonel, being a native Minnesotan, I've heard about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers my whole life, but the one thing that seems a lot of our listeners know that I've known is Corps of Engineers drags the river and keeps the navigational part of the river deep enough so the boats can go. But you actually do a lot more than that, don't you?
We do. So navigation along the Mississippi with our locks and dams and the dredging, as you mentioned, we maintain that 9-foot channel so that the commercial barges can move all the way through locks and dams from St. Louis all the way up to the Twin Cities here. Once they get south of St. Louis, the river's big enough, they don't need locks and dams anymore. So we maintain that. That's about half of our workforce and half of our budget. But the other half goes into a lot of other projects, as you say, flood risk mitigation throughout North Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, and also recreation. I think we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but we have 49 sites across those three states that really are an asset to the entire region.
And Colonel, we hear about the flooding up around North Dakota and the Red River up there every year, but we've had a pretty good year this year. Are we making any headway in that, or is that something that we have a big winter, we're going to have more trouble?
Yeah, I think there's always a possibility for trouble there, although over the past several decades, at least the past 20 years since that big flood in 1997, which we celebrated the 20th anniversary of that a couple weeks ago. I think it was right around Easter. Since then, we've made a lot of progress, specifically in Grand Forks and East Grand Forks. There's a federal project there now that we were a big part of with the states and the local community. So they passed through the spring floods this year without even a hint of trouble. Places like Fargo, Moorhead, that metro area, we're still working on flood control. So still some large communities at risk, but we're buying down that risk year after year with more investment.
And Colonel, I understand that you work closely with other organizations such as the Minnesota National Guard and probably Homeland Security, because everybody's concerned about those floods and those type of issues that come up. So in your first year as the commander of the St. Paul District, you must have met a lot of people around Minnesota.
Yeah, absolutely have. Some great people in all the different state agencies, the DNR, the Pollution Control Agency, and many others, as well as federal agencies, FEMA and the Fish and Wildlife Service, that we work closely with. But yeah, there's nothing we do that is just a Corps of Engineers project. We're also always tied in with those state and local agencies. And really, our biggest contributors are the local communities. So in the states and or the cities and counties around Minnesota, lots of great people working on the issues.
We're speaking with Colonel Sam Calkins, the commander of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers St. Paul District on Minnesota Military Radio. So, sir, you've got a lot of employees over there. You must. What's the geographic territory that the St. Paul District covers?
Well, we're primarily in the three states that I mentioned earlier, North Dakota, Minnesota, and Wisconsin. We do have a couple sites in South Dakota and in Iowa. Our boundaries are a little bit funny. If you look at them on a map, it's all based on the drainages of the rivers. So it's not along state lines. It's along those river drainage boundaries.
So your people get out and cover a lot of territory.
They do. And we've got, I may have mentioned, we have 49 sites around those the three states. So about 250 of our people are here in the Twin Cities. The rest are spread out along the rivers and lakes and recreation areas throughout the states.
So, sir, are there a lot of projects every year that you have to get ready for to fix waterways or to correct things?
Yeah, there absolutely are. So all the projects we've done, we go out and inspect and make sure that they're still working so that the next time a flood comes, people aren't falsely hoping that the levees will protect them, that they actually are up to the feet. And then we have big projects, our Fargo Metro project. The flood mitigation on the Red River is a $2 billion project that's going to take us 6 or 8 years to build. We have lots of smaller projects on the $100,000 to $1 million level in communities throughout Minnesota that we're working on every day.
So, sir, we mentioned before that you're 1 year into a three-year term as the commander of the St. Paul District. What have you learned in the first year? There must be some interesting things you might not have expected.
Yeah, lots of things. I'd say the first thing is that the staff here is incredible, really dedicated to service, well-trained and hardworking. So we really have an asset at the St. Paul District with the staff. The other big surprise has just been the breadth of things that we do. Flood control, navigation on the Mississippi, I knew about all those things, but campgrounds and water safety campaigns. And our regulatory program is all things that that I didn't know about that the Corps is involved in every day.
It's got to feel good, sir, to fall in on the St. Paul District with all of those full-time employees been there so long. And I imagine they kind of break in that new commander every 3 years and let them know what's going on. But has it gone pretty smooth?
Yes, it has. I spent my first 6 months asking people, what can I do to help? Because I'm not going to tell an engineer who's been designing levees and dams for 30 years how to do his job. He knows how to do it. Or a project manager who's been managing multi-million dollar projects for 20 years. So I've found that the leadership skills that I've learned in a career in the military have really helped me build a cohesive team and look towards our strategic future.
So you're giving your full-time staff some top cover and probably working on the budget for next year.
That's right.
Somebody's got to do it, sir. Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about the fact that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is huge when it comes to recreation activities all across the nation, especially here in the St. Paul District. We're speaking with Colonel Sam Calkins from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Colonel Sam Calkins, who is the commander of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers St. Paul District. And, Colonel, we were talking a little bit about the normal things that people think that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers do. And can you run through that a little bit, navigational items and projects?
Yeah, so we break it into three main categories. Navigation, for us, that's along the Mississippi River. Flood risk mitigation, so we talked about the Red River and the Mississippi and other big rivers in the region. And the third one is ecosystem restoration. So we do a lot of work to create habitat along our waterways, and that leads into, I think, what we're going to talk about next, which is recreation on some of those waterways.
Yes, sir, recreation. I think a lot of our listeners aren't aware that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers is one of the largest managers of recreational facilities in the country. Is that true, sir?
Right, it is. And here in Minnesota, we manage over 14 sites. So there's a little bit of logic behind it. Everywhere that we have a dam, there's usually a reservoir that backs up behind that. Those reservoirs turn out to be pretty nice places for fishing and boating and camping. So the Corps, about 50 years ago, decided that we might as well set up some recreation sites there. So we now employ, little-known fact, more park rangers as the Corps of Engineers nationwide than the National Park Service does. So we have uniformed park rangers at the parks, campsites. If you go to recreation.gov, you can book our campsites 6 months in advance, and they really usually are booked through the summer. beautiful places up at the headwaters of the Mississippi River, places like Gull Lake, Lake Winnebogash, Pokegama Lake. We've got big sites in North Dakota, Lake Ashtabula, even down along the Mississippi River at Black Hawk Park.
So as the commander of the St. Paul District of the U.S. Corps of Engineers, do you get to spend part of July with your park rangers?
That would be great. Actually, I'm going up there to one of the sites at Cross Lake later this afternoon. We have a ribbon-cutting ceremony. Great local community there who's very involved with our park staff. And we've built an interpretive garden there for the community to use to educate school groups and anybody else who's interested. So we're going to enjoy some time up at Cross Lake today and tomorrow.
Well, Colonel, you should check out some of those campsites, make sure they're habitable, and make sure the fish are biting so you can report back to
us. That's a great idea.
Just a thought, sir. Once again, for our listeners, if they want to find out about all of the recreational sites that you manage, they go to recreation.gov?
That's right.
Well, it's pretty interesting that the Corps does a lot, much, much more than the average person thinks about. And how many people did you say you employed over there?
Well, we employ 600 people. About 100 in the summer are working at our recreation site. So a lot of those are seasonal workers. We have a lot of volunteers as well. But you'll see them if you head out to the campgrounds and the lakes. Our staff will be out there looking after you.
And Colonel, with that many people employed by the St. Paul District, you must have some turnover every year.
We do. If anybody's veterans or otherwise interested in a great career, the Corps of Engineers is always looking for qualified people. Again, you don't have to have an engineer. We have administrative assistants, biologists, economists, engineers, historians, archaeologists, you name it. USA Jobs is the place to look if you're ever interested in coming to work for the Corps. Great place to work, great mission.
USA Jobs. And Colonel, I want to end where we started, and that's on the river. Mississippi River is a big deal in Minnesota. What kind of shape is it in, and how are the lock and dams?
Yeah, the Mississippi's in great shape. We had a record year in terms of the tons of material that were shipped through our locks and dams on the upper Mississippi last year. So a lot of that is agricultural products, corn and soybeans that are heading down to the mouth of the Mississippi for export. The locks and dams are 80 years old. Most of them were built in the 30s. The ones up here in the Twin Cities were built in the 60s, so they're a little newer. So they take a lot of work. We have a very talented crew who makes sure that everything is running and staying safe.
So when it comes to the Mississippi, sir, you must coordinate some of your efforts with the other districts south of here and all the way to New Orleans.
That's right. Rock Island District is immediately to our south, and then the St. Louis District as well. We work hand-in-hand with them. Our big dredge, the Dredge Getz, was down south before it was warm enough here to start dredging the river, doing some work down south.
Keep it working all year, sir.
That's right.
Well, Colonel, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners all over Minnesota about the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, St. Paul District?
Yeah, it's an honor to be on your show, Tom. More importantly, it's an honor to lead the St. Paul District, a dedicated team of 600 people who add a lot to the region in terms of recreation, the economy, and keeping people safe. That's our number one mission.
Well, Colonel, we appreciate you taking time out of your busy schedule to stop by, and we hope to talk to you a few more times before your tour of duty at the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers St. Paul District is over.
That would be a pleasure. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, sir. That was Colonel Sam Calkins, the commander of the St. Paul District U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Joining me now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard is Tim Leonhardt. Tim, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, thank you, Tom.
Tim, are you and all your riders and the Minnesota Patriot Guard ready for the holidays coming up?
We are. There's a lot of stuff going on.
You know, sometimes this time of year is tough on some of our old veterans, and I'm sure you're going out to visit some veterans in some of the homes, aren't you?
Oh, we are. That's one of the things that we enjoy a lot, is going to the veterans' homes and visiting with them. We're doing a lot this Christmas season.
And I know you've got some events coming up, and I think there's one coming up the Friday after Thanksgiving.
Well, there is. What we do on that is it's called, we call it our Black Friday event, and it's a meet and greet for all of the metro and anybody that wants to come from anywhere. They come from all over the state. But we raise toys and canned food for our veteran children. So all you have to do is show up there with a toy and some non-perishable food, and it's at Two Stooges, and Two Stooges actually gives us a free meal if you bring in a toy and a perishable item.
Now, is this open just to the Patriot Guard riders or open to the public?
It's for the Patriot Guard riders, but anybody that wants to come and visit with Patriot Guard, and even if they just wanted to see who we are and what we are, just bring a toy and a can of food and sit down and visit with all of the folks there.
So that's on Black Friday, right after Thanksgiving, at Two Stooges. And what are the times, Tim?
It starts at about 5, but the actual program starts usually about 6:30.
And there'll be a number of charitable organizations there joining you that you've helped throughout the year.
Yes. Yep, there are. And there'll be a couple of speakers. And we have a little program going on that it's kind of fun. And they usually give away some free prizes and, you know, usually Patriot Guard stuff. And it's just a good time. Everybody gets to visit and listen to what's going on, and our state captain gets up there, the president gets up there and talks a little bit, and we have guest speakers, and it's just a good informational meeting.
Well, and before you know it, it'll be December, and I understand there's something going on at the Minneapolis Veterans Home.
We do. Every month we do a bingo game out there, and actually do that at the Minneapolis VA, and we also do it at the Hastings VA. And this year we're doing the bingo games will be Christmas oriented, because that'll be our Christmas time with them. So that's always fun.
What day is that, Tim?
That will be Saturday, December 9th.
And what time of day?
Well, actually, it's usually in the afternoon. So if you go to our website, you'll get all the details.
So your website again is what?
It's mnpatriotguard.org, and just go to the mission calendar, which is on the left side.
And then look for Saturday, December 9th. There'll be a little Christmas event at the Minneapolis Veterans Home.
Yep, all the details will be there, and who's running it, what you can do, what you can bring. You don't need to be a Patriot Guard to be there. Just show up and say you're there to help, and it's a wonderful time. You get to visit with some wonderful veterans.
And the following week, you've got an event that has to do with wreaths?
We do. Actually, we partner up with a group called Wreaths Across America, and what they do is they donate wreaths to lay at the grave sites of thousands of veterans. And they've asked us to help lay them. And every year they have a opening ceremony around the main flagpole where they honor all the branches of service. And after that, our Patriot Guard go out and they help the families and or other organizations get the wreaths out there and get them laid in place. And we have maps, and the more people, the better. I mean, you get to meet with some families and walk with them carrying a wreath and setting it on, you know, watch them set it on their loved one's gravesite. And it's just it's a great time.
So once again, go to mnpatriotguard.org, look for the missions calendar, and they'll have the details for the wreaths on December 16th. And then I understand you've got something going up at St. Cloud.
We do. Up at St. Cloud, we have the same day, we go out and we actually visit with the people that are actually at the Veterans Administration Hospital there. And that's always a good time. We actually have people singing in the hallways, and we go out and we give them a little gift, and these are people that are kind of forgotten in life right now, and just us showing up and acknowledging that they're there is just a wonderful feeling. I mean, you'll walk away feeling so good that the rest of the Christmas will even be more wonderful.
Tim, I'm visualizing you walking up and down the hallways singing and humming.
Oh,
it's a little scary.
Yeah, that happens.
It's a little scary.
Not the singing part. You don't want to hear me sing.
All right, so you've got a busy schedule during the holiday season, and
of course, your regular missions
come up as when needed as well.
They do. You know, we also have the funeral missions that we go to, and we really feel good about when we're there honoring somebody. We get a chance to honor somebody that may have been forgotten for what they've done for our country. You walk away, the families are in awe, and they can't believe that there's complete strangers there to honor their loved ones.
And it's all about those three Minnesota Patriot Guard words: honor, dignity and respect. Tim, you and the Patriot Guard writers do a fabulous job every year, all year long. I wish all of you happy holidays and safe travels this winter, and have a good time at some of these events.
We will. We do.
Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Thank you.
That was Tim Leonhardt from the Flag Line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We have one mention today. The Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans is pleased to announce a unique partnership with WCCO Television. From November 27th through December 14th, the station will inform viewers about Minnesota's homeless veteran population and, through a series of newsworthy stories, features about homeless veterans and on-air phone banks, inspire citizens to take action to help return veterans to dignified service in Minnesota. The special campaign called A Home for the Holidays will culminate on December 14th with a special holiday meal and stand-down for homeless veterans at Target Field. In partnership with the Minnesota Twins, homeless veterans will be able to connect with service providers on items such as medical care resources, registering for assistance, and shelter programs. The end result will be an increased awareness of how citizens, corporate partners, and service providers can mutually contribute to solving the issue of veteran homelessness. A Home for the Holidays will set the precedent for future holiday campaigns. We're just about out of time, and I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week: Jason McBurley from Cargill, Colonel Sam Calkins from the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Tim Leonhardt from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelleteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about the Minneapolis VA's Women Clinic and the Southwest Ramsey County Yellow Ribbon Network. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.